Good morning. So today we are going to talk about Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you know that we've been talking about different characters surrounded during the time of crucifixion. And we have very little information about most of them, but when it comes to the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a little bit more information about her. We have seen her in action during Christmas times. We also have expressed, or we have known in the scripture, some of the encounters she had with Jesus and the time they spent together. And so we know a little bit more about her. And so today we want to talk about some of the things we learned from Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what are some of the things we can put it in our own lives and practice them. And so I invite Zerel to come and read scripture for us.
Our reading is taken from John 19, 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home.
So in the small reading, we know a few things about Mary. Number one, we know that she was a courageous woman. Amen? She was a courageous woman. Courage is not absence of fear. It is pressing forward when you feel afraid. Courage is not absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. Mary was a courageous woman. See, Jesus had his 12 disciples, and they were with him almost throughout his ministry. And often when we read the Holy Gospels, three names come very often. Peter, James, and John. They were with Jesus all the times. They witnessed some of the most amazing miracles Jesus ever performed. For example, at a time when Jesus raised a girl from her death, these three disciples were there. At the time when Jesus was visited by Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, these three disciples were there. They witnessed some of the most amazing thing a human can ever witness. They have seen the power of Jesus. They have seen his glory. They have seen his amazing compassion and all that. And I was thinking, and I hope, and I thought that in those times when Jesus is a difficult time, these disciples, they have seen the courage of Jesus and they have seen his greatness, that they would be with Jesus. But of course, we find none of them closer to Jesus. Peter, in fact, denied Christ just few hours before and have rejected Christ. Mary, on the other side, being a mother of other children and caretaker, she must have been very busy taking care of them at home. She was in more domestic care. And so she wasn't really going with Jesus. And I don't know how much of Jesus' teaching she might have heard firsthand. She might have heard all the wonderful things Jesus is doing through other people, but there are few times when she really had a witness of her own, of Jesus' work and ministry. But in this difficult time, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ is with her. And then she is with her son, helping him and giving him comfort and expressing her care toward him. Because she was a courageous woman. She was a courageous person. And so, dear people of God, I want to challenge all of us this morning to be a courageous person. It is not necessary that we are not afraid of things. But even though when we go through that fear, even though when we go through that difficult time, deep down we have a conviction that God is going to be with us. And I am not going to be afraid, but I am going to find courage in God to do the right thing. See, mother of Jesus was in much more bigger danger than other disciples because, you know, during Romans time, as soon as they find out that other family members are present, they will be prone to more persecution, both from the religious leaders and also from the Roman authority. But then she had this deep conviction in herself that I am going to be with my son in this difficult time. Let us be courageous, dear people of God, that when we see people go through suffering, when we see people go through injustice, when we see people go through difficult times in their life, that we will stand with them in those difficulties. Amen? So that through our presence, we will express the courage of God toward them. Through our presence, we will stand with them and let them know that they are not alone by themselves, but that there is somebody who is taking care of them. And we are the witnesses. We are the ambassador of God's presence in their lives. The courage often doesn't come that easily. It is the deep conviction within us which helps us to go on. You know, within our own history, there are people who are courageous, like Rosa Parks, or some other individuals, like who stood against injustice, not because they were strong, it's not because they were powerful, it's not because they had tremendous political support behind it, it's not because they had so much money behind them, but they had this deep conviction within them that this is not right, and I'm going to stand against it. And I find my courage in God. I find my courage in knowing who I am in God. Amen. And so, dear people of God, on this Palm Sunday, let us take this courage with us, because you will need it, believe me. You will need that courage. We all have witnessed injustice. We all have witnessed persecution. We have seen other people persecuted, and some of us have experienced persecution within us, ourselves. And I pray and I bless you with this God-given courage, which comes from God, which comes from knowing that you and I are created in the image of God. And that image of God has to be respected within ourselves, and it has to be respected outside of ourselves in other people's lives. So she was courageous. Second thing, she was obedient. She was obedient. Do you remember the time when the first time when she was just around 15, 16 years old in Nazareth and she saw the vision of an angel coming to her and telling her that you will become the mother of God's son? And she says, let it be as God plans. Let it be as God desires for my life. In other words, she is telling that I do have my own plans and purposes. In fact, I am engaged to a man to be married, and so I have my plans for my life. But at the same time, I'm ready to give up my plans for God's plan. I'm ready to obey and give up my plans so that God can fulfill God's desire in my life, so that God can fulfill God's desire for the humanity through me. Because she was an obedient person to God. And again, here we witness one more time in the reading we just saw that as Jesus is on the cross, ready to die, and when he witnesses the fact that his mother is going to be alone, he tells that mother, look at your other son, John. And John, look at your mother. And the scripture says, and they went together and they stayed together. The other thing I find in the scripture is Jesus' character. Because, you know, Jesus is a good and wonderful son. Now, when I read the gospel, I find a little bit conflicting account of Jesus' connection with his parents. For example, if you remember when Jesus was 12 years old and he went to the temple And as they were going back, the parents, Mary and Joseph, realized that Jesus is not with them. And so they were so upset, and they come back to the temple, and they find that Jesus is in the temple, in the church, having conversation with other elders in the church. And so his parents ask, like, Jesus, why have you behaved to us like this? Why have you been not with us? What's going on? And Jesus, you know, being, I think, teenager, he says, you know, don't you know that I have to be in my Father's house? And I'm sure Joseph, being the father, like, what are you talking about? I'm your father, and our house is in Nazareth. And kind of, I find Jesus a little bit harsh, because I cannot talk so much against Jesus. As you know, I'm his disciple, so. But I find a little bit not a good son-like. Or other time when, you know, Jesus was with disciples, and as Jesus was preaching, and Jesus, Mary and other family members comes to meet Jesus. Do you remember that time? And then Jesus is telling, like, yeah, you know, I'm very busy with my, you know, spiritual family. And, you know, you guys, yeah, I'm kind of busy. I find it a little bit challenging, like, you know. But then when I read this particular scripture where it tells that even at the last moment, Jesus is recognizing his responsibility as the elder son in the family, making sure that I'm going to go, but I want to make sure that my mom is taken care. And then he gives responsibility to the youngest disciple in his, you know, among 12 of them, John, the person who actually wrote the gospel. And every time when John talks about in the John gospel, he doesn't say his name, but he says the disciple whom Jesus loved. And of course, he's the same John who wrote the epistle, John 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and also the book of Revelation. In other words, John had this special connection with Jesus. And Jesus gives his mother's responsibility to him. And I find that is so refreshing, so encouraging, and so supporting, because once in a while I see that people in the ministry, people with great cause, people with great vision, tend to go after that cause and vision so much that they tend to neglect their own family. Have you witnessed that? And often I struggle with that. That you bring the whole world to the kingdom, and sometimes your own children, sometimes your own family starve you of your presence, of your sonship. And often you will see that people talk about their father so much that your father is the greatest guy and all that. And the son is saying, well, he had no time for me. I don't know about whom are you talking. And so, dear people of God, as a Methodist, we're people of vision. Amen? We're people of cause. We go after stuff. We go after issues. We go and make change in the world. And amen to that. But in the process, let us not forget the family in which God has placed us. Amen? Jesus is dying on the cross here for the whole humanity, but is making sure that his mother is taken care of. Because it is possible that he might have saved the whole humanity and left his mother destitute. Let us be not like that. Let us be like Jesus in everything we do, including taking care of the family members God has placed into our lives. And I know it is so challenging once in a while to go after the cause, to go after the vision, to go after the things which God has called us to do, and at the same time taking care of this small stuff around us. I know it is difficult. I know it is challenging. And I pray that God will give you and me wisdom when we face these challenges, that we will do the right thing, not only for the greater good, but for also smaller good. Amen? For the people out there, but also the people whom God has placed us around us. And I've invited Kathy to read something about Mary and how she feels as she is leaving her place in Nazareth and going with John. Please.
This piece is called remembering. And Mary has just returned to her home in Nazareth to collect her belongings. She will then go to live with the disciple John. She is outside in a small garden behind the house. She needs some time to herself before she can be polite to the disbelieving group inside. Everyone is being kind to me, bringing me food, sitting with me, trying to comfort me. No one quite knows what to say when there's been a death in the family, especially in these circumstances, when so many people feel that he got just what he deserved. I know what the neighbors are thinking, even if they're tactful enough not to say it out loud. All of Nazareth believes that if Jesus had only stayed at home, married, and raised another generation of woodworkers, none of this would have happened. How can they be expected to understand what I struggle with after all these years? They thought the news of Judas's death would make me feel better. How can I be glad that a young man killed himself? Jesus loved Judas as much as any of his students, even though he knew Judas would denounce him. I'd like to think that Jesus forgave him, even if Judas could not forgive himself. I couldn't stay inside the house and listen to their attempts to console me. I know they mean well. I'll go back inside shortly. I just need some time to remember. I've been thinking of that night so long ago, when the angel came to see me and told me that I had been chosen by God to bear his son. I was so overcome, I could scarcely breathe. Then, after the angel left, I realized I had no idea how to tell my parents. So I didn't, at least not right away. Instead, I went to stay with my cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant at the time. I thought I would tell her my story first and get her reaction. Surely she, of all people, would believe such a thing could happen, since she was finally having a child in the twilight of her life. But I didn't have to tell her at all. As soon as I said hello, she knew instantly. She was overjoyed and thrilled that I had come to her for help. I stayed with her for 3 months, almost until her son John was born. Every day for those 3 months, Elizabeth told me how blessed I was to be the mother of God's child. I confess that these past few days, it's been a difficult blessing. Anyway, I went home and told them I was expecting, and by whom. At first, Joseph, my betrothed, didn't believe me. Please don't think badly of him. It would have been hard for any man to accept. Joseph was a good man, strong but gentle. I was proud to be marrying him. He was a quiet man, but his hands could take a rough piece of wood and transform it into something beautiful. Joseph could look at any tree and tell you not only its name, but also what purpose the wood was best suited for, much as Jesus would later do with people. Although I don't think Joseph would have said any wood was suitable for a cross. Jesus was fortunate to have a carpenter as his earthly father. When he spoke to the crowds, they listened and believed because he was one of them. He knew what it was to labor from dawn to dusk, to have blisters and calluses and bruises. Bruises. Well, I got so many on that trip to Bethlehem, as any 9-month pregnant woman would tell you. a most inconvenient time to travel. But then, when have Romans ever considered the convenience of the Jews? It all seems like a dream now. Who could have imagined that so many people would want to look at a baby? And then we had to pack up in the middle of the night and hurry to Egypt. I didn't know why until later, when we heard that Herod had slaughtered every male infant in Bethlehem. All those innocent children killed in place of my son. I suppose it's fitting now that my son has been killed in place of all the children in the world. I was so young when he was born. I felt so inexperienced, so unprepared. Oh, I had helped take care of other babies in our neighborhood, but even when they won't stop crying, you know you'll be handing them back to their mother. It's different when you're the one the baby is being handed back to. Not that Jesus cried a lot. Even then, he was usually calm and very tolerant of my mistakes. I didn't realize what an easy baby he was until after I had my other children. Where did the time go? One day, he was a little boy bringing home bugs to show me. And the next, he was a grown man telling me it was time for him to do his father's work. If I had known it would go by so quickly, I would have hugged him a little tighter. I would have rocked him a little longer. I would have sung him just one more lullaby. But I was busy cooking meals, sewing clothes, and doing all the endless routine chores that filled my days and weeks and years, until all of a sudden, I was sewing his shroud. Every mother knows when her child is born that he's going to grow up and leave her. But, dear God in heaven, he belongs to you again. Thank you for loaning him to me. I'm trying to have faith that everything happened as you intended. But please, God, let it be worth his suffering. Let him be remembered.
Let us close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your love toward us. As we just sang that, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond the measure that he would give his only son as a ransom for us. Lord, as we celebrate both Jesus as King on this Palm Sunday and also remember his death on the cross, we pray that, Lord, help us to put this in a perspective in our lives, Lord, to constantly remember that Jesus is our King, and we want to follow his example, we want to be like him, and we are ready to listen every of his word and follow his direction in our lives, and at the same time, constantly remember the grace and the sacrifice he gave for us. What a wonderful King we have. That King would die for us so that we would have eternal life. Help us, dear God, to follow this King in our lives. Help us to follow his example. Help us to follow his words. And help us to follow his actions, not only toward us, but toward the people around us. When the time comes, help us to sacrifice ourselves for the greater good. Give us that courage. Give us that unwavering obedience toward you and toward your command to us, Lord. And when we obey you, it doesn't mean that we are giving up our humanity, but our humanity is enriched with your presence. Help us to remember that. Help us to follow you in the life we live. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.